Right. Item 8, water quality in typhoon shelters. This is a result of an initiative by Mr. Zimmerman, who's very concerned about water quality in the typhoon shelters. And we have a briefing, I think. We do. We have a briefing from EPD and Drainage Services Department, I think. Who's going to take us to the paper, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to briefly introduce to you the some essential aspect of this paper.
Sorry,
the paper
you're Patrick Lai? Sorry? Lee?
Patrick Lee.
Sorry, Patrick. Thank you.
The paper is about typhoon shelters, and we understand that the Commission is very concerned about some aspect of the typhoon shelter. In the paper, we presented what the government is now doing regarding the improvement of the water quality of Victoria Harbour. The government has invested much money to improve the water quality. So back in 2001, we commissioned the first phase of the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme. We call it the HATS. So since the commissioning of the HATS, we saw improvement of the water quality. We are now proceeding to the second phase of the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme. In the second phase, we would aim to collect the sewage generated mainly from the Hong Kong Island for treatment at the Stonecutter Island Treatment Works. And if the works are completed on schedule, by 2014, we will see further improvement of the water quality. In March this year, we have actually implemented an advanced phase of this Harbour Area Treatment Scheme. We installed disinfection facilities at these treatment works. And after the commissioning of the disinfection facilities, we saw further improvement in terms of bacteria water quality. So we observed that the water quality around the Tsuen Wan area, in particular the seven beaches, which are currently closed, they have now been able to achieve the water quality objectives laid down in the Water Pollution Control Ordinance. So sometime next year, we expect that some of the beaches could be reopened for the general public. In this paper, we also briefly mentioned about the storm drain system, as well as the discharge from the vessels. And today we have colleagues from the Marine Department and the Drainage Services Department. We will be happy to respond to any issues raised by the members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You didn't in your briefing specifically mention typhoon shelters, and I think that is a major area of concern. We were at Le Yumon recently, and the typhoon shelter there, quite frankly, is disgusting. We were also recently at Yamaite, and the typhoon shelter there is disgusting again. I'm afraid the smell is appalling. Yes, obviously you're attacking the major issue, if you like, but in the interim, what are we going to do about the typhoon shelters? Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Chairman. You mentioned about the Yau Ma Tei typhoon shelter. In fact, this particular typhoon shelter is a concern raised by the local residents. Quite recently, two LASHCO members have also raised concern, and they have raised questions at the LASHCO chamber. And in response, our secretary has provided answers to the members, indicating that the government is going to implement a series of measures. And this measure will be implemented by EPD together with relevant departments, namely the Drainage Services Department, Building Department, Civil Engineering and Development Department, together with Marine Department. We I can briefly set out the measures that will be implemented by this department. Firstly, some of the pollution source come from the buildings. We observe that some buildings have illegal connections. That is to say, some of the wastewater, sewage, are discharged into the storm drains improperly. So we need to collaborate with building department to rectify this improper disposal. And we will also seek assistance from the district office, because for some buildings, they may not have building organizations, and it may be very difficult to get in contact with the individual house owner. That's why for this particular action, we are going to collaborate with building departments as well as the district office. Secondly, we noticed that some of these pollutions are discharged into the harbor through the storm drains. Based on a survey that we carry out, we reckon that although some of the pollution come from the so-called pond source, for example, buildings, but quite a major percentage of the pollution also come from the non-pond source, for example, street washing, and people or restaurant washing the dishes in the back lanes. For this type of pollution source, it is quite difficult to control at source. And so at present, some of the storm drains, in particular for those storm drains which discharge into the typhoon shelter, they will be polluted. And that's why for the Yau Ma Tei typhoon shelter, we observe that when the sediments accumulate in the outfall, in the culverts, if they accumulate to a certain extent, then they start to smell. And quite recently, we have discussed this issue with the Drainage Services Department. At present, they are organizing the silting work, that is to remove the sediment from the culvert 2 times a year. And we now agree that in order to ensure that the sediment could be removed more frequently, the Drainage Service Department will organize the silting 3 times a year. That is, every 4 months they will organize people to remove the smelly sediments from the culvert. We also observe that some of these sediments, they may get discharged and go into the waters of the typhoon shelter. And so for certain part of the typhoon shelter, in particular near the storm drain outlets, the sediments tend to accumulate. And at present, some of these sediments may smell if they are if they accumulate to a thick layer. And through our collaboration with the Marine Department and the Civil Engineering and Development Department, the dredging works will start very soon. Sometimes after the Chinese New Year, the Civil Engineering and Development Department will arrange people to remove the sediments from this problematic part of the typhoon shelter. So we have 3 measures in place. And lastly, since 2004, the Drainage Services Department have already installed the dry weather flow interceptors to intercept the polluted waters from discharge into the typhoon shelter. And this dry weather flow interceptor will operate during the dry season. And we have recently completed a study to review the sewerage system in the West Kowloon area. And we reckon that there may be scope to further install an additional dry weather flow interceptor near the culvert outlet. And so at present, the Drainage Services Department will start to look into the scope for installing an additional interceptor to help intercept the polluted waters from discharge into the typhoon shelter.
Thank you. But with respect, you're not addressing the cause, are you? These are just temporary measures to try and carry us through. When do you see yourselves addressing the permanent solution, and by what date?
Mr. Chairman, may I clarify what you mean by permanent solution?
Removing the pollutants. It's created a situation where there is no longer flow into the typhoon shelter.
As what I have explained, we are now tackling the problem through several measures. One is at the source. That means we try to tackle the illegal discharge coming from the buildings. But as I mentioned, some of this pollution cannot be controlled at source. That's why we have got the interceptors in place to intercept the polluted waters from discharge into the harbor. At present, we already have 6 interceptors, and we think that if we can introduce additional interceptor, that may help to further reduce the pollution source from going into the typhoon shelter.
Thank you. What do members feel? Any other comments? Becky, please.
Thank you. I think the information on the measures has been very helpful, but it seems to me that we also have some objective or international, scientific standards. So in relation to the typhoon shelters, I think it's similar to the questions raised before, do you have, like, for example, a target compliance rate of the marine water quality within a reasonable time frame? And it seems that, I don't know whether you have the information about the current situation of the compliance rates at different typhoon shelters. Because in your paragraph 11 of your paper, it seems that you have shown that the overall compliance rate of marine water quality was actually quite good in 2009, exceeding 90%, but that is for the overall situation. Do we have similar figures for the typhoon shelters?
Thank you. Let me focus on the Yau Ma Tei typhoon shelter, because this is the same issue raised by some LASCO member at the recent LASCO meeting. We do have water quality objectives, and these water quality objectives are laid down by reference to the beneficial use of the waters. For example, for Victoria Harbour, we reckon that the major use of the Victoria Harbour is for navigation. So at present, we have some water quality objectives which are designed to ensure that the waters are protected to achieve the intended use of the harbor. For Victoria Harbor, at present, we have a number of water quality objectives, one of which is the dissolved oxygen. For typhoon shelter, we explained recently to the public that we have two separate objectives, one relating to the bottom waters, one relating to the depth average. That is to say, we try to measure the dissolved oxygen at the bottom layer of the typhoon shelter, as well as the depth average. At present, we collect water samples at 3 depths, near the surface, in the middle layer, as well as the bottom layer. And then we calculate the average. That's why we say depth average. For the typhoon shelter, we reckon that it is mainly located in the calm waters, and at the same time they have installed the breakwaters, and so the breakwater has presented some difficulty for the free exchange of waters between the waters in the typhoon shelters and the water outside the typhoon shelter. So for dissolved oxygen, for the bottom layer, at present, the waters in the typhoon shelter can meet the water quality objectives. But for the depth average objective, it is very stringent. We specify that for 90% of the sampling occasions, they should meet a standard of 4 milligrams per liter. And that's a very stringent standard. And at present, the Yamate typhoon shelter is not able to fully meet these particular objectives. And this also equally applies to, say, for example, the Causeway Bay typhoon shelter.
What is the measurement then? If it's not 4, what is it?
At present, we have two values. One is the annual values. For the annual values, it is around 4.8 in 2009. And so the annual value is exceed 4 milligram per liter. But for the water quality objectives, we actually do not just look at the annual value. We also look at the individual figures. And we say that for 90% of the sampling occasions, all the figures should exceed a value of 4 milligram per liter. In that respect, the Yamate typhoon shelter waters cannot meet that particular objective, although the annual value is around 4.8.
Thank you. Any follow-up? No? Happy? Please.
Chairman, from the paper and from the information provided, this is related to the nature, the design of the shelter. That means you close off an area and let the junk and the boat there and let the boat discharge the sewage, and at the same time the air collect the sewage from the soil, and you cannot be enough flow of water to dilute the water. So I think you need to think about the design of the shelter, whether you can say whether you stop all the sewage from the soil dump to that area. But according to the paper, you said it's difficult because of the rainwater drain, you normally all dump to the soil. So any thinking or going back to the design of the shelter about the water, or you can do dig the shelter at the bottom, you dig a hole, let the water input the water. The only solution from what I look at it is you input the flow, let the free flow of the water within the shelter. That will kill the problem. Otherwise, no matter what you're doing, you can't help. So I think you need to think from the very, very back to very first principle to think about the redesign of the shelter. I think this is a long-term solution, Chairman.
Thank you. Any thoughts on design of the shelters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me explain the design of this typhoon shelter. For example, the new Yamate typhoon shelter, we call it the new because the old one was relocated, and so after the reclamation, the government provide a new typhoon shelter. So we call it the new Yamate typhoon shelter. At the time of the design of the typhoon shelter, there was a lot of discussions among government departments how we can ensure that the design of the shelter will not create a water pollution problem. We know that at present, the storm drains outlets goes into the typhoon shelter. And so that is a problem that we now have to try to tackle. As what I have explained, one of the engineering solutions is to intercept the polluted waters from discharge into the typhoon shelter. The other options, as raised by some district council members and national members, is to further extend the storm drain system so that it is diverted away from the typhoon shelter catchment area. But I think there are some technical problems which may not be easily overcome. Perhaps on this particular aspect, I would like to invite my colleague from the Drainage Services Department to further explain the difficulties behind this particular option.
Thank you. Please.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lee. My name is K.W. Mack from the Drainage Services Department. I think the main problem in extending the box culvert several hundred meters beyond and go outside the typhoon shelter is mainly on the increase in the flooding risk. When water travels a longer path, the frictional force offered by the wall, the extended wall, length of the wall of this box cover will slower, make the water travel in a much lower velocity. And this will have two consequences. One is the amount of water that can be carried through by this box cover will be significantly reduced. And the second point, perhaps is more importantly, is that when the velocity of water traveling the box cover is reduced, more sediment tend to settle. And then this will add to the problem of the siltation of this box cover. And in fact, in our Victoria Harbour, it's quite well known that the tidal influence to this stormwater outlet will make our desilting very difficult. And, you know, because the tide travel to and fro inside the box cover, this year we have a very complicated mechanism for the sediment to settle in that length. So if the box cover, for example, is extended beyond the typhoon shelter, normally it requires a turning of 90 degrees, right, and travel several hundred meters longer. So this will significantly increase the risk, and also it will create a siltation problem. So these are the main problems that we are concerned about this extending thing. Not to mention the land problem, and also it entails reclamation in certain part of Victoria Harbour that is, you know, the protection of harbour ordinance. Not to mention those, but purely from the flood control point of view, it's quite difficult to extend that, you know, in a general situation. I'm not saying that, you know, for every case it's not possible. So we have to look at it case by case. So thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Could I just ask a further question? Do you have a program for each of... I mean, we've talked about one typhoon shelter. You talked about Yamate. I mean, do you have a program for each of the typhoon shelters around the waterfront? Because each of them represents a challenge, if you like, certainly so far as this commission is concerned. Do you have a program for all the typhoon shelters?
Mr. Chairman, we briefly discussed about the Yamate typhoon shelter. Among the typhoon shelters which are around the Victoria Harbour, the more problematic one is the Yamate typhoon shelter and the Causeway Bay typhoon shelter. For the Kun Tong typhoon shelter, we reckon that there are a series of improvement works which are in the pipeline to ensure that when the cruise terminal is commissioned, the water quality around that area would be improved through a series of engineering measures. For example, on the last Friday, the Finance Committee has approved the funding of a major project. It's the Jordan Valley interception project. That project will aim to intercept the polluted storm waters from discharge into the waters around the Kun Tong typhoon shelter and the old airport approach channel. And for that particular project is aimed to be completed around 2013-2014. So by that time, for the Kun Tong typhoon shelter, if we carry out the series of improvement measures to intercept the polluted waters and also to carry out some improvement works around that area, the typhoon shelter water quality will be greatly improved. And so, as I explained, the other problematic typhoon shelter would be the Causeway Bay typhoon shelter. For that typhoon shelter at present, we understand that there are some dredging works being carried out in conjunction with a works project. And so after the sediments inside the typhoon shelter are removed, we reckon that the water quality in the typhoon shelter will be improved. And at the same time, at present, as I mentioned at the beginning of my presentation, I mentioned about the harbour area treatment scheme. At present, some of the sewage from the Hong Kong Island are just partially screened before discharge into the Victoria Harbour. We are now proceeding with the phase two of the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme. And that scheme is aimed to collect the sewage from the Hong Kong Island, mainly the Wan Chai area, the North Pond, and the Central area, so that all the sewage will be intercepted and conveyed to the Stonecutter Island Sewage Treatment Works for treatment. By the time when all this sewage from the residential and commercial area on the Hong Kong Islands is intercepted, and when this phase two of the treatment scheme is commissioned around 2014, the water quality of the Victoria Harbour, including the typhoon shelters in the Victoria Harbour, will be further improved. And so these are the major works which are now in the pipeline.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other points, questions, members? I mean, I think that's been a useful update and a useful progress report. I mean, I see this as an ongoing challenge, and I think we would like you to come back, if you don't mind, on a regular basis and brief us on progress made. I mean, there obviously Yamate is a major challenge. Yau Tong, I think, is another area that we need to think about. Causeway Bay, you mentioned. Le Yu Mun's another shelter that gives rise to a lot of problems. So I think on a regular basis, I think we'd like you to come and brief us and hopefully report significant progress. Thank you. Please, Andy. Sorry.
Chairman, actually, we've been talking about the possibility of more active marine use, such as water-based sports or recreation facilities in certain part of the harbour. I think now taking into all these consideration regarding the long-term water pollution issues that may not be fully resolved eventually, would it be a reasonable expectation that in a few years' time we may be having a bit more water-based sports and recreation activities in certain part of the harbour, like Do Hoi Wing or anything that the boating within harbour. Certainly, we're not talking about the whole of the harbour. At least, would be a reasonable expectation that this can be done in a few years' time. Thank you.
Please, there's a question. Sorry, I think there's another point on my left. Yes, please. Yeah.
Chairman, we're also there's any plan or thinking to restrict the boats, the vessels, at least for those bigger ones, to discharge the sewage direct to the sea when they are in the shelter. Say they may have provide some facility for them to discharge the toilet and the waste station, provide something collection like the big boats, so that to reduce the direct dumping to the sea. Any thinking along that line?
Okay, two questions. One about recreational activity in the future, and the second about sewage discharge in the shelters. Please, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Chairman. I would deal with the first part of the two questions. It's about the recreational use of the Victoria Harbour. As I explained at the beginning of my presentation, at present, the Victoria Harbour is mainly intended for navigation purpose. And so this is a very important activity to maintain the economy of Hong Kong. And certainly we understand that there are public expectations for the wider use of the Victoria Harbour. But we also have to take into account the constraints relating to the navigation and other aspects and the current use of the Victoria Harbour, which I think the Marine Department could further give us insight on this. On the recreational use, this year the Dragon Boat Racing has been relaunched around the Tsim Sha Tsui area, and that is in recognition of the improving water quality around that area. We also received some requests from the Swimming Association on whether they could organize cross-harbor swim in the near future. Based on our water quality monitoring, at present, although we have installed the disinfection facilities to disinfect the sewage coming out from the Stonecutter Island's sewage treatment works. However, we reckon that the sewage from the Hong Kong Island is still untreated, and we have to wait until around 2014 when the phase two of the harbour area treatment scheme is commissioned, that all the sewage from both sides of the Victoria Harbour, that is from the Kowloon side and the Hong Kong Island side, are all channeled to the Stonecutter sewage treatment works. Then we would expect that the water quality will be greatly improved. By that time, based on the water quality modeling that we have conducted now, we expect that the water quality will be more suitable for that sort of activities. For other activities such as yachting or some others, because they are mainly secondary contact recreational use. So at present, we understand that some of these activities are carried out in the Victoria Harbour. Our main concern is the primary contact, such as swimming.
And then the other question about sewage collection. The question that was asked here about collecting sewage from the boats.
Mr. Chairman, regarding vessels like the floating restaurants and the harbour cruise, you know, sort of restaurants, you know, on those vehicular ferries, they under the local regulation, they have to have on board some facility to retain and collect these sewage. But as to vessels in general, the ocean-going vessels and international trading vessels, they are all under the MARPOL, International MARPOL Convention. They need to have facilities on board to stop the sewage from getting out to the sea. But for local vessels, these regulations do not apply to local vessels, but we understand in general the local vessels, the number of people on board are small, and so the amount of sewage discharge from the vessels are relatively smaller. So with the improvement on the work on the improving the illegal connection, all these things, we expect the improvement will be able to get to a acceptable standard at a later date. But we have in the past reviewed together with EPD and DSD on the regulations and application of these regulations to local vessels. Given these local vessels, existing vessels, it would be very difficult for them to comply with the requirement because of the lack of space on board vessel to install these large tanks. And the supporting the difficulty in having the support to collect all these sewage, so proposal, you know, then was to so far, you know, to not to apply these regulation to these vessels. So I think we together with the EPD and DSD will continually review the situation and consider, you know, if there are other ways to improve the situation from the point of view of vessels.
Okay, anything else members want to raise? Seems to me we have a lot to do, gentlemen. There's a lot to do. And there's a major challenge. So, as I said earlier, I think, can you come back to us regularly and report? You know, yes, at the big picture level, we've got hats and everything, if you like, and that obviously is going to significantly improve the situation. But around the waterfront, which is obviously our area of concern, I don't see any real tangible immediate improvement. And that's what worries me. Please, Becky.
Chairman, Chairman, may I suggest that, you know, like when EBD come back to us, if that has already been done, right, can you provide us with like a table on the different typhoon shelters and the quality, you know, kind of index that you can provide to us so that we have an idea of how serious are the problem and where are the major problems?
Okay, that seems a good suggestion to me. Yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is doable, but it's going to require some work in compiling the data, if you have the data. So like compiling an emission inventory for each type of shelter. I mean, you saw that you give us a vague idea. I mean, these are the sources of pollutants going into each. But I think the sources for each type of shelter will be different depending on the location, right, and the activities around the type of shelter. Just a rough estimate, if you could come up with like an emission inventory, that will also help in terms of coming up with a solution to the problem. Yeah. But just an idea. I'm not sure.
No, I think when you come back, I think we'd like to look at it almost shelter by shelter, if we may, with the sort of measurements that Becky's asked for, but also some idea of what are the main culprits, if you like, in each case. I think that will be helpful. If you could, next time. Thank you. All right, thank you very much. Thank you.